AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a big night of Scottish Premiership action. Celtic hit Dundee for 6 to go 13 points clear at the top. Stephen Robinson calls for full-time officials to help Scottish football, and it's the Scottish Cup tomorrow, kicking off a big weekend. Ayr United against Hibs. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Gordon Dale and Mark Wilson, who I have to say usually save their nonsense for at least 5 minutes into the show. But if you're wondering why it takes us a while to get some calls on air tonight, this absolute you-know-what has just spent the entire break prank calling our own open line, pretending to be Peter the Hibs fan from Bayliston.
That was the best call we've ever received, listening in.
But nobody can get through because you've been in the phone to them for the last 4 minutes.
That was worth it. By the way, you had some good points in there. Because he was complaining Celtic don't have a striker.
Why did you say you were a Hibs fan?
I was the only team I could think of for some reason.
Poor producer Luke.
That was amazing. What a start to the show. I can't get any better than that.
I hope the cameras caught that.
I've got to say, right, he's so professional, that young man. He just went along with it. He was going to call me back. He was asking me my points and everything. When I asked him, what team do you support?
What did he say to that?
I don't support
it. He said he doesn't support a team.
He's so professional. Didn't
brilliant.
Anyway, bring enough, us back to planet Earth.
Enough of the nonsense and you know, wants to concentrate. Obviously, starting with the game last night for Celtic. I mean, this guy making the point that Celtic's now got a striker with the amount of goals they scored last night and the quality of some of them. I mean, they don't need anybody else in the door. And then you mentioned that Scottish Cup weekend, big weekend ahead. Some good ties to look forward to. So, all happening once again.
Yeah, Celtic put that to lead to 13 points comfortably. Another 6 for Dundee, starting to get a little bit worrying. Got to say, I thought and Spell Celtic were brilliant last night. Some of the goals. Maeda, I don't know what's happened since Kyoga's went out the door. He's on fire. Absolutely brilliant. His second goal last night was one of the best I've seen. Didn't think he had it in his locker, to be honest with you. He did get back scoring again. He's on a good form, a good run just now. It was a comfortable 6-0. And as much as Brendan Rodgers was a little bit disappointed with transfer window, saying they're a bit light, you can see the quality shining through.
01419511025. The lines are now clear to phone in. Peter in Bayliston has hung up, thankfully, and you can get involved, please. So give us.
What did they say when you asked, do you know the area? I have to say, do you know the area of Bayliston?
Anyway, give us a call right now. Let us know what you are thinking tonight. Celtic fans, last night seems like a good place to start. What did you make of it? How impressive was it? Because I think we've all been here before. You're expected to win a home game against Dundee. You're then looking for, can you do it with that particular swagger, particular style, particular gap on the scoreboard? And clearly that happened last night. So what impressed you the most? Who impressed you the most? How did you think the new look forward line worked? Imagine Nicholas Kuhn having to come off the bench as a substitute and stick one in the top corner. What did you make of it last night? You got a brief glimpse, I guess, of Jeffrey Schlupp. Did he do enough either way to have you calling up tonight? Arnie Ingles played his part for sure, and various others. So all your thoughts last night, please. Are there any Dundee fans out there? I'd like to get your take on it, because again, you're not expected to win. You might even be able to make your peace with losing heavily sometimes when you come to Celtic Park, but two back-to-back 6-0 defeats, how are you feeling in the aftermath of it? 0141 951 1025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Elsewhere, what else is going on out there? Looking forward to the Scottish Cup tomorrow. Any Ayr United fans or Hibs fans out there? I'd like to hear from you. Get your thoughts ahead of probably the tie of the round, getting it out of the way in the first outing across the weekend. Friday night slot, probably the tie of around Aaron Hibbs. So if you have any thoughts on that, please do. Rangers fans, a quiet day in isolation, but there's always something going on. We had a good debate last night about which three players would you put in the Europa League squad. Now that deadline will be closing in, so if you've got any thoughts to add on from last night, maybe anything you heard that you agreed with or you disagreed with, because everybody had Yanis Hadji in, but nobody could quite decide for sure what the other two looked like. So if that's still on your mind, 0141 951 1025, and anything else at all, you decide. If there's something you want to get off your chest, this is the time and the place to do so. I'm looking forward to the cup weekend. I think the draw could have been better. Is that fair? But nevertheless, hopefully throws up some big stories either way.
Well, it always does. And the guy sitting to my left here always calls that on Scottish Cup Day, that there's always a shock in there somewhere along the lines. Yes, the fixtures look kind of heavily weighted towards the favourites, but the beauty of our cup competition is everybody takes it serious in terms of their starting 11s. That's your Premiership teams, but sometimes it just doesn't pan out like everyone expects. So always love the Scottish Cup. Great opportunity for some of those lesser teams to get through to the next round, earn a wee bit of prestige along with a bit of cash into the bargain.
You can't beat a cup shock, and the first game tomorrow night comes into that category. I think a lot of people would agree. Scott Brown started his career at Hibs. Hibs are in good form, let's be honest about that. But down at Somerset, been there many a time, cup games under the floodlights, there'll be a big crowd, good atmosphere. Air United players will certainly rise to that. I think that's a tricky one for Hibs.
0141 951 1025. Come on then, let us know what's on your mind. It's always obvious place to start when we have a game to look back on. So what jumped out from Celtic Park last night? I'd imagine mostly positive. Celtic fans, you need to go some, even by our wacky standards, to find the negative there, but maybe you can. I suspect most of you have got praise for Maeda, Aida, Kun, the forward line, the squad depth in the absence of Kyogo, that sort of stuff. Give us a call please, and we'll do it as quickly as we can. We're starting with Stephen, who's on. How are you, Stephen?
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks very much for taking my call.
Pleasure. What are you thinking tonight then? Happy enough, I would imagine?
Yeah, listen, I had a couple of points if I could. First point was last night, I thought some of Celtic's play was absolutely fantastic, scintillating. The forward line, you know, looked absolutely fantastic. I remember calling in just before the Aston Villa game and I said that I thought we would see a new, confident Adam Eder. I really think that he's going to have a super strong finish, you know, to the last, like, maybe 9 or 10, the last 12 or 13 games of the season. You know, I thought he was... I really liked watching him. I thought his work rate and what he'd done outside that when he was out of possession, when he was running into spaces. You know, for a big guy, I think a lot of that goes unnoticed, and the likes of Maeda and Jota are obviously the flash players that are going to grab the headlines, but I was really pleased with how he played, and obviously all of the team last night I thought were really fantastic, to be honest.
Thought so as well. Couldn't disagree with any of that. It's a big period for Eder just now, because he has been really judged. Now, of course, he was judged from the start of the season, but you've got Kyogo to almost fall back in that he's the talisman. It's hard to get him out the side. Now, once he's removed and you become the main man, then, you know, all the work rate in the world and hold up play is great, but you need to score goals, don't you? So he's holding up his side of the bargain in the last week.
Is he four in his last three?
Four in his last three, obviously two at Villa Park, a good finish at the weekend at Fir Park, and then another kind of opportunist goal and a good finish last night. So what else can he do? He'll stay in the team. As long as he's doing that, he'll stay in the team. But it goes to show you that, you know, although Brendan Rodgers wanted a striker, and the squad, the balance of the squad's not too bad without bringing one in, when you think you can withdraw him, put Maeda up there, or like we seen last night, Kenny can come into the fold as well. Not a bad position to be in.
I think Adam Eder looks like he's enjoying the extra responsibility, Gordon.
I think he's enjoying the fact that he's probably right now number one striker. Maeda obviously can play there as well. I sort of disagree a little bit, right? And I'm going to give him all praise in the world. I like Eder. I think he can bring a lot to the table. I don't think he had his best game last night, right? But the one thing I really liked about him was See when the chance fell to him, sharp as a tack in the box. It's a great, great finish. It's a striker's finish. It's a striker's finish that's in it's got confidence. Yep. And that's what Adam Eder's got. I think he's only got to get better. He's starting to score goals. He likes to feel, you know, like every other player. Mark will tell you, see, because Kyogo was there, he always knew he was second fiddle. He's now basically the main guy. So he's starting to feel good about himself. He's starting to score goals again. I think Adam Eder will come on to a real good game now for Celtic.
Stephen, see when you get a game like that, where obviously you're expected to win, because we're at Celtic's bar is and the standards, you're looking for a performance like that where you really, really show the best version of yourself. You know, Brendan Rodgers spoke, didn't he, about games when it can be tight and fans got frustrated at passing the ball back. These are the types of nights you're hoping for, I'd imagine.
Yeah, listen, I think when you play for one of the Glasgow teams, the standards are really, really high. There is an expectancy not only just to win a game, but to win it with a certain style. Free-flowing football and attacking and goals has always been the Celtic mantra, and it's kind of what we look for. We're starting to play to our strengths. You know, there was a kind of lull, even though we were winning games, there was a kind of lull in performances, probably about maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago. You know, the Dundee game, we dropped points, and, you know, it looked as if there was maybe a wee bit of complacency just going to creep in, but a victory like that returns us to all cylinders firing, and, you know, I think there's a wee bit of fighting for places and stuff, you know, with the up front there. I think Nicholas Kuhn would have probably raised an eyebrow at why he was maybe off last night with Maeda going on to the right-hand side, but then pops up with 2 goals. You've got Jota on the left, you know. So I think there's a real mix of players in there, and really good players, I think, thrive on the competition. You know, it only makes them better. And I think that's maybe why we're seeing, you know, last night was a level up from what we'd seen probably in the last month.
Yeah,
you know.
Thank you very much to Stephen. Brendan Rodgers says it's no surprise to him that the goals are continuing to flow despite Kyogo's departure.
Well, it's been no different. I think that's been our game all the way through the season. I think you know Dyson's on 18 goals, numbers of assists. Nicholas on 17 goals. Don't know how many assists, but he's got a lot. And Adam getting his goal, and you see him now. He's moving differently and just freed up a bit and want to really prove a point and show that he can be a number 9 here consistently for Celtic, and then the other players, the midfield players, getting on the act. So that's always been our aim. So I'm obviously greedy and I want more, and I want more players, and I want, you know, to keep our levels, to keep improving, because it's not just about each week and each month, and it's each game we want to improve and be the best that we can.
John is on the other line. How's it going, John?
Good evening, Gordon, Dasler and Mark.
John?
Hope you are well. A couple of points. I mean, if you don't mind, Gordon.
Go for it.
The game last night, that could have easily been double figures. The caller before there just said, scintillating football, sublime. The goal, Dyson Maeda. Mark, I don't know if you might have been playing the game. It was something similar to a goal Derek Riordan scored, if you remember, Mark.
That's
a lie.
That's a lie.
<That's laughs> <a lie. laughs>
Of course I do.
Well, go and then describe it.
He chipped a goal, didn't he?
Against
I thought you were going to say Nakamura when he chipped a goal against Dundee United.
No. Something similar to a goal Dyson scored last night. And he puts it over the goalkeeper. Now, if you look at the size of Trevor Carson, I just can't remember the game, Mark. But it was into the Lisbon Lions end as well.
I remember it now.
You don't. Stop lying.
I'm just trying to push John on these points. He seems like he's not going to
Somebody can fill in the blanks between John and Mark if you can. But John, are you impressed with that level of finish? He's obviously a very effective player, but sometimes there's a focus more on his athleticism and his impact rather than the kind of quality with that, without sounding cruel. But what a finish it was.
Oh, definitely, Gordon. It was sublime, the technique. I mean, it's to get the ball over the goalkeeper being, I think he was just on his 6-yard box, just a bit of penalty spot. And Trevor Carson's a big unit. And But what gets me is, it's, I think it took a deflection off a defender and into his, some ball off of Ingles, by the way, but I think the defender put it into his path. But he took it on the run. But one player that stood out last night for me, and he's not fully fit at the moment, is Philippe Jota. The charisma that boy's got is phenomenal. The flicks, but the pass that he put in for Dyson's first goal was, he just took the whole defence out, and the wee man put a diving header into the side net. And I don't know about a penalty kick, because I couldn't really see it. I mean, was it a penalty kick, boys?
What did you two think of that? Listen, we debate anything here in Scottish football. First time I saw it, I actually just thought, what's the debate here? He's pulled him straight to the ground. Then yeah. I go on social media and see
before again, forward. Everyone can wants you remember to follow. That one?
The penalty kick, just about.
Just in case you
I thought it was a
well.
Penalty. I think when you look at it, I mean, I know there's a... No, I do. I think it was a penalty. Yeah. There's a wee bit of tugging from everybody, but I think once you then, you're falling to the ground and you're restricting,
I think, because
somebody.
The ball goes right onto that area as well. Yeah.
I think it's a penalty. Yeah. I really do. I heard Tony Docksin, he thought it was soft, and I couldn't get that if you're the opposition manager. But looking at it and then watching the replays, I thought he pulled him back. I thought it was a penalty kick.
John's wider point there about Jota, I mean, I suppose the best way to sum up his impact and his status within the club is that nobody bats an eyelid at Nicholas Coon being left out of the team.
Mm.
Nicholas Coon might have, right enough. You know, what a signing. There's only a certain type of signing can do that for you, because we don't yet know what level he'll hit when he's back, but the hopes are so high for him. He was so popular previously. You go and leave out what everybody's calling the player of the year leader, if you like, at the moment, and Nicholas Coon. Is that fair?
Dyson
Mays,
my aid is giving him
another,
a push just now.
Might have a push.
Well,
there,
I've got to say, I think John described it perfectly. He's ball in for Maeda's goal, the header.
Brilliant.
Is incredible. There's not many people can play that. I think guys like Hatate and that has got that. They're locked. Jota just lights up Celtic Park, doesn't he? You know, everybody's saying, well, he's still a lot to go in his fitness. You see him, he's still sharp, he's still got the ability. He just puts the fear into defenders. He's got everything, absolutely everything. And that's why I said the other night there, as much as it is so disappointing for Celtic with the centre forward situation, I think sometimes the board, you've got to give them a wee pat on the back to do that business and get Jota at 25 years of age back to Celtic for 8 million after selling him 18 months ago for 25. That's one of the best bits of business in football. And he'll go on to get better and better. It'll be interesting to see if he gets minutes on Saturday night against Raith Rovers. Obviously looking towards a big one against Bayern Munich.
I think he will. The thing with Jota is it's the type of player that you pay to go and see. You know, we all want to go and be entertained at football games, and it's great when your team's winning and if they nick a 1-0, fine, and supporters got to be happy. But really, you want to go and see, you know, in the final third, a bit of flair, a bit of trickery, but an end product. He's got all that, and it must be great for guys like Maeda. And by the way, I think Ida will score more from Jota coming in that right foot, because he can put it on a sixpence after he's jinked by a few people. So a great start to his second time run at Celtic, and I don't think he'll come off it. I think he can only get better the fitter he gets. So terrific signing.
Just while we're at it, I've never gone for a player of the year debate in early February, but Jota or... Coon or Maeda, who's out in front for you out of those two specifically?
I think Coon has been consistent. Great start. I think Maeda's just taking off for some reason. And I'll tell you another thing. I like the... if I was Celtic fan going along, I'd like to see...
if anyone's worried about that bang in the background, yeah, it's Gordon Deal's golf club that he's brought into the studio and has fallen over.
I hope it's not broken. It'll be Mark's golf club. But I think Maeda is starting to come on to such a game. And I'll tell you something, Gordon. I agree with Brendan. I listened to Brendan Rodgers on Tuesday when I was on the show, and he was describing Maeda as a centre-forward. I think he's a better option through the middle than his wide. That's only my opinion.
Ooh, yeah, it's a big shout, that. I think he's an option. I don't know if he's a better one. When you've seen the standard he's produced this season. I had sewn up that Coon was getting a couple of weeks ago. I'm not so sure now. I think Maeda has been terrific. And I think players would fear playing against Maeda more than they would Coon.
Everybody knows you forget about what's happened
anyway, and it's only this.
Exactly.
It's only this bit to the end of
this
the season
running,
that
yeah.
people remember.
People
so,
campaigning.
We'll see. Thank you very much to John and 01419511025. Great time to call. We'll get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL is here, so is his Thursday night companion Mark Wilson, and they're waiting for you to get in touch, so don't let them down, please. 0141 951 1025, and let us know what you're thinking. Clearly last night's game between Celtic and Dundee has got lots of you discussing it, and Dundee fans, I would still like to hear from you. 2 6-0s in a row, what a run that is. Don't get that very often, do you?
Not even me. I don't think I had that in my time. No, it's a tough one. Tony Docherty will be sitting here today questioning all his decisions over the last couple of days. But look, it can, I suppose, happen as a one-off against Hearts at home, and it's bad enough. It could happen to anybody really at Celtic Park. So that's the way he's got to approach it. And you look at that game on Saturday against Airdrie,
who've now won a couple.
Is that the upset?
I've been reliably informed, courtesy of the ever reliable SPL stats, that the last team to concede six back to back was Dundee.
Was it?
Yeah, in February, March 2000, they lost 7-1 at home to Rangers and 6-2 away to Celtic. So there you go, an unwanted record. But Celtic fans, get in touch, let us know what you made of it. Anyone else out there, give us your thoughts on anything else. A bit of a quieter day for some of the clubs, but we'll be right back to it tomorrow, hearing from managers and building up to the big weekend. Brendan Rodgers, let's hear more from him. He thinks Adam Ida is growing into his position as Celtic's first choice striker after another goal last night.
Yeah, he always is going to have to be patient here, and obviously the nature of having a brilliant striking Kyogo that fit a lot of how I want the team to play and pressing and everything else. So he comes in and he has to sort of fit around that, but he was still, you know, still made big contributions. But now I think he's taken that responsibility now. We could go on. He sees this as an opportunity for him because he knows at Celtic you have to produce, and you have to produce consistently. But it's all plays for him. He's just moving different now, and again a real handful tonight. And his goal was very good. Makes a good run, gets his shot off, doesn't lie about the floor, gets up, and then he's able to get the rebound and really good finish. So. Yeah, very pleased for him.
Yeah, I agree. I said earlier, Gordon, I think he now believes that he's got a great opportunity to stake that number nine. Well, no, no number nine jersey, he's got that, but the position.
Don't worry, I wouldn't have picked you up on that. Yeah, I know, me and Mark like to give you a hard time. I would have let you away with just number nine there.
Okay. Or what you call a number nine.
What I call a number nine in the game. But I've got to say, I've been impressed with him. The big one was Aston Villa. He rose to the occasion, two good goals in a big, big game. Tired near the end. He's starting to get that reward now, obviously, against Motherwell and last night. I agree. I don't think he'd his best game, but I quite like that in a striker, right? In the sense that if you don't have your best game, then it's important you get a goal. Keep your name out there. And his finish was a finish of a striker that's full of confidence. I think about 2 months ago, Ida wouldn't have scored that, right? But because he's now come in, Kyogo's away, he feels good about himself, being that probably number one pick now when it's a big game as a centre forward. That goes a long way as a player. That's a confidence boost that manager's picking you. You know that position's now yours. Go out and make it. Because it didn't matter what Ida done up until Kyogo went away. The minute a big game come around, it didn't matter if he scored three the week prior. Kyogo was playing. It's different now for him. He can now stake a claim to say, I'm playing in the big games.
I think Celtic fans need to remember as well, going forward from now on, that it was a lot of times this season, especially, that Kyogo wasn't really involved in much, would he? Was he? He'd maybe pop up and score. But, you know, people got fascinated with the heat map and how many touches Kyogo had. So if Ida isn't having his best game, Daz is right. As long as he's in those sorts of positions to get in the end of the deliveries from Kuhn, from Jota, from Maeda, he'll score you goals. I'm convinced of that. I was never convinced that he was as hopeless as everyone was making it in the first part of the season, because you need to dislodge the main man who's left Celtic, and people describing him, I think Celtic manager, as a almost legendary Celtic striker. That's a hard hurdle to overcome. Now he's out the way, he has to take his chance.
Do you sense Adam Ida is taking his chance, Barry, from Stirling?
I've phoned before when Kyogo, there was interest for Man City, and I spoke to you, Marvin, and Simon Donnelly, and I says, use that money to bring Jota back. And I think his assists and the crosses that he puts in, Adam Ida would flourish. I personally think that he's going to rise to the occasion. I think he's been looking for this chance for him to be the number one striker. It was Kyogo for a long time, and he was kind of on the fringes. But he's shown against Villa when he's got two goals, and he's shown again against Dundee. It's good strikers' finishes he's getting. He's getting in the positions where he needs to be to get the goals.
I think we need to dig out Barry's call, because I'm not doubting him for a minute. Barry sounds like an honest man, but the Kyogo Man City interest was the summer. If Barry's called in and said, sell Kyogo, fund the return of Jota,
yeah,
I want this guy to pick my lottery numbers. What a shout that is.
I want to have a chat with him to see what the future holds for me. I'll tell you what, see if you're
chaos. The future for you is chaotic.
Yeah.
Take it from me.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. It's a good journey ahead. But you've got to say, see if you're Adam Ida just now and you're scoring goals, you can't wait for the next game, because he's a centre forward. You rely on people making the chances for you. Look what he's got in the flanks. He's got Kuhn, he's got Maeda, he's got Jota. He then looks behind him. Look the quality he's got in the middle of the park. He then looks further back, and the two full-backs can get up all day long and put quality balls in. It must be a dream to be a centre-forward just now in that Celtic side, because that's the only reason he'll keep his cell in. Because he's no excuses, Gordon. He can't turn around and say, well, I'm playing my provincial club here, I don't get a lot of chances, we don't have a lot of possession. He's got quality all over the park. There's got to put balls in that box, and it's up to him to go and score a goal.
Who were the strikers, Mark, that you really felt enjoyed being the main man, enjoyed that goal-scoring burden?
Oh, them all. That's the God's honest truth, because that is what they're like. And we know it with Daz sitting next to us. But they have got an ego, you know, and they need that massage. Guys like Scotty McDonald, who was an incredibly hard worker, he'll love being the main man and being the top goal scorer every season. Gary Hooper was another one who was just an instinctive finisher, but he took that responsibility on his shoulders well. Obviously, when I arrived at the club, John Hartson had a huge personality, and did he score his 100th goal when I was there? But I hid in the inside his locker. He'd wrote himself 100 goals not out. And you know, that's just that's quite good, isn't it?
I
was just to show everybody, and he'd have a laugh about it, and that just their personality. And they thrive off that. And Big John was one of the best to play with, because much like Ida, you know, he didn't do much outside the box for the halfway line to the box. But as soon as it was in the box, you knew he was going to attack it. Ida maybe sort of like that. I don't think he's got the physical stature of John, but he's certainly a threat. And Daz is right, when you've got those guys in the flank. By the way, there's not much Ida hasn't done just now since he's came to Celtic. Usually the criticism would come for a Celtic striker or Rangers. We've seen it with Dessers and Morelos for years. Not scored against Celtic. Not scored a big goal, really. Doesn't a day it in Europe. Ida's ticked all those boxes. Cup-winning goals. Goals at Ibrox. Goals in the Champions League at home. Goals in the Champions League away. Now the last piece of the jigsaw.
You're not giving him that young boy's goal, are you?
No. No, the one against Bratz Lava, did not score in the first one. Aye, he'll give him the young boy's one as well.
Goals panel was gonna
all he has
to
do now is hold down the place and be the number nine from now to the end of the season and bag a whole load of goals into the bargain with that.
Easy as that. Barry, so the theme that's been running across this week has been about the transfer window and no striker. And my goodness, the split from some fans who are raging at this to others that don't see it as an issue at all. Were you always pretty relaxed and confident that what's left in the building is more than enough between now and the end of the season?
I wouldn't say relaxed, no. I was a wee bit kind of kind of disappointed we didn't get somebody in. But, I mean, I did, back then when I spoke to you before, as I say, and I did have faith that the crosses coming into the box, you've got crosses come in for Jota, you've got crosses come in for Kuhn on the other side. Engels and McGregor are putting balls in the box for a deeper position. And I felt that Ida would go from strength to strength. And I felt that, like, he needed this chance, I think. So I was kind of in the camp where relying on him, he's a £9 million striker. It can't be hopeless, let's be honest. So I was kind of happy that, I mean, at least we've still got a recognised striker who can put goals away. But I was absolutely gutted to see Diogo go. But getting £10 million for a 30-year-old, I mean, it's a great bit of business, isn't it? You can't really complain too much.
It's one of those things you heard on Tuesday night a lot, Gordon. That's when it was at its peak, this argument about shouldn't they have signed a striker. It's fine if it stays like this, obviously. If Ademida stays on form, and that four, because we're including, you know, Maeda can maybe do a different job, if they all stay fit and in form, we will not hear this issue again. We won't. But if one of them's injured and then it looks a bit light, or if Celtic start getting a couple of disappointing results, it might not even be the fault of that, but that's when it'll be brought back up. So you can almost keep it at bay by keeping everybody fit and keeping everybody informed.
Where they've got a big problem is very early on, right? And it'll be the Bayern Munich game, because Maeda, obviously not available for that. Now, against Bayern Munich at home, you want to keep yourself in that tie, don't you? You want to really keep yourself in that tie. You're looking at Ida, for instance, is he going to play 90 minutes against a Bayern Munich side? You're then looking at the impact players coming on, whether it be Maeda coming on or whether he probably would start it. I don't know who he'd have left out, right? Or if Maeda started, Ida comes on. So it's a good replacement. Whereas they might have to rely on young Kenny. So
that's at some point within the game.
Yeah. So that's where it's sort of a, would stick in your throat a little bit if you're a Celtic or Brendan Roy. I can take that on board. Once you get through that, if you can get through that, Maeda's obviously back in for the next few game. So that gives you a little bit more scope. But that first game against Bayern Munich is the one, I think, that Brendan Rodgers is looking at thinking, my game plan's quite simple. I like to rotate. Look at that. If I'd made a fit, I'd another striker in. All of a sudden,
you're also going to need a heck of a shift off of Jota, who
apparently
isn't fit yet, but he looked all right.
Pretty sharp, doesn't he?
Yeah, correct. And that's where I think the first problem. Yeah. But once I get by that, and you're right, if they can keep everybody fit, they've got enough domestically, no doubt about it.
Thank you to Barry. What I'm going to do, rather than rush Ross, I hope he'll accept my apologies, and we'll just line him up first out the break, and that way we'll get a bit more time to speak to Ross. But let me tell you about this first.
325k bonus payday.
That sounds all right, doesn't it? £325,000. That is the prize, and you could get your hands on it. Text yes to 61025. Texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website for 250, or you can call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, and all the rules for this rare network competition are on our website. Now, the lines close 5 p.m. tomorrow, so you are definitely running out of time. Make sure you get your entry in. Text yes to 61025. £325,000 up for grabs.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. 01419511025. So come on down and let them know what you've got on your mind. Ross has been hanging on for ages. I'm so sorry, Ross. What's your point tonight?
All right. Hi, Gordon. Gordon, Mark. Hope you guys are doing well.
Good, thank you. All good.
I just thought the game last night was terrific. I thought Celtic were brilliant from start to finish. Over this week, you've heard obviously Celtic fans saying that it was a 2 out of 10 and a 3 out of 10 in the transfer window. See, to be honest, last night just proves that we don't need a striker. We're absolutely fine. There's nothing to worry about. All this panic about we never bought a striker in. Well, we've got Ademida, Maeda, Jota if we really need to, Kenny if we need to, and worst case, Daniel Cummins if we really need to go down that route. But for me last night, it just blows this theory out the water that Celtic are in panic mode because we never get a striker. We're absolutely fine. There's nothing to worry about.
Mm-hmm. Is that not just what we were saying before the break, though? Is that maybe under threat though if somebody gets injured. You know, you could ease. Celtic have got a pretty good record in attacking areas, but one injury, two injuries, a suspension like Maeda, is that not where it comes into? I don't think anyone looked at Jota, Maeda, Ida, and whoever I've missed for whatever reason,
Kun,
and thought, you know, those four won't do, but they just might not always be fit and available and on top form though. Is that not the problem?
Yeah, but then if that's the case, then you can get in the route of using Johnny Kenny or worst case Daniel Cummins. He's in the B team, so we can use him if we need to. But for me, I would rather just wait to the summer and splash the cash on a half decent striker than rather than run out in January and spend over the odds because somebody knows that we need a striker. For me, I don't have a problem with it, and I might only be the only Celtic fan that thinks this, but I actually think the Celtic board need to be commended. We've actually done really well in this window. We've brought in Jota, we've got Tierney in a pre-contract, and we've sold Kyogo for half-decent money. So for people to criticise the Celtic board, I think it's a bit appalling. I think they need to be commended for the work they've done in this window.
I said it Tuesday, I'm with Ross. I think he makes a lot of great points here. I do agree that Brendan Rodgers said that, look, we're a bit light. And I totally understand that coming from a manager. You heard him tonight talking about, you know, he wants as much as he possibly can. All managers do, and there's nothing up with that because you want to keep improving, you want to keep going forward. Just by the looks of things, reports, I think Bromby were playing hard to get, probably inflating the price a little bit and hoping Celtic were going to do that. I said there, the only stumbling block for me is the first game against Bayern Munich. If they can get through that, I think that, like Ross said, I think they're well covered. Look, injuries could happen, whatever. But it's up to the young players now if they are given their opportunity. You never know. They could come on there and play very, very well. Signing a striker doesn't guarantee you he's got to be brilliant. How many strikers have you seen and players with big reputations come to Scotland and failing miserably? So I think the problem for them is get through the season, if they can do that, which they're capable. And then I think because the Champions League qualifiers, Gordon, they have to have someone in right away. I don't think they can do an Adam Ida and keep waiting and waiting and waiting for a signing. They've got to have someone in right away. But I do agree that the board do come in for a lot of criticism. I think they've handled the transfer window, apart from Brendan Rodgers saying a bit light, brilliantly with the recruitment and Jota, Tierney coming back as well, the money, getting £5.5 million for Bernabe. Come on, that is good business from Celtic.
It might be that this is a discussion for another day though, Mark, but just on that, if, because Brendan Rodgers said this at his press conference, if you are thinking about Champions League qualifiers, that's why you might look to do it in January, and Gordon saying it just means you need to get one in at the start of the window, but you can't always do that because you don't know what other clubs want to do. There is a domino effect. Some players might not want to move before they know what team's in the Champions League, yeah. So all that sort of stuff. So I get the point. If you can turn up on day one of the window, get your man and he's in, then great. You haven't lost any real preparation time from not doing it in January, but you can, because there's a lot of moving parts there. It might not be Celtic's fault. You sometimes need to wait deeper into the window for a very good reason.
Yeah,
people don't do it deliberately. You would never choose to do it. You do it because you have to,
of course. I think that's what fans need to separate. Let's talk about this window. The striker not coming in, there's a difference between a striker not coming in and the board basically saying to Brendan Rodgers, you're not getting a striker, and the board pursuing a striker but just not getting it done because the deal's not right for the club. So I agree with Ross, I agree with Daz. I think the board should take credit with how they've handled things. They have actively tried to get someone in, but it's not been possible, and it's for the benefit of the club in that respect. In the summer, no doubt there will be somebody that comes. Of course, it might be a waiting game, and that is frustrating. As long, I think, Brendan Rodgers, I think, will go along with it, as long as it doesn't turn into what it was in his first spell around, where it did get a bit silly, getting into those Champions League qualifiers and getting through a couple of rounds, and everyone's going, well, what's happening? There's no reinforcements, and before long, it scuppered your full season. So there's no point. I think the January window is just for the fans, really. The fans all pay attention, and they think it's like 15 years ago that I'm talking to fans of all clubs in Scotland, that they think there's going to be these major signings coming in January. it's so difficult to get anything over the line. That's the domino effect in January. And if you're signing a player, it's usually because they're out of favour somewhere else. You're not getting premium quality in January.
Tell that to Matt O'Reilly and Rio Hatate.
They are the outliers within that. Of course, if you do your recruitment right and you're spot on, you get a couple of those. But those are every... Again, they bring up their own problems, don't they? Because you get James like that and everybody thinks, well, that's easy. Easy. You do it every January. Mm. If it was that easy, every team would be doing that every January. It's a tough window, and I think Celtic are still in a good position coming out of it.
Thank you very much to Ross. Let's hear from Tony Docherty. He says Dundee weren't good enough defensively. However, he's not sure either of Celtic's opening two goals should have counted.
I've got to say, the penalty, I'll need to see it back, but for me, there's no Celtic player claims for that. The referee, who's, I think, 6 or 7 yards away, staring at it, actually gives a free kick to us. So I think it's of a soft variety, you know, and that, things like that have to go for you at Celtic Park. And I do think the second goal, you know, there's a, just in front of me at the dugout, there's a foul on Mo Salah. Mo Salah gets a touch in the ball, and yeah, the ball goes out of play, but Callum McGregor comes across him, and I know it's a shoulder, but Mo touches the ball. Anywhere else in the pitch, has a free kick. So I feel decisions went against us, and we should have merited coming in at half-time, nothing each. So that's what I've got to say positively about the performance. But I think in the second half, you know, we can't, if the third goal particularly, we just can't. We know, we work hard, and we know what Celtic's threats are in an attacking sense, and we can't switch off like that, allow a player to get his header inside the box. And I think from then on, you know, the level of goal we lost, you know, was poor. And it's something we've addressed with the group. But it's important now we move on. We've got a Scottish Cup tie Saturday against Airdrie. And as disappointing as that was and the previous game, it's important we affect the next one.
It must be tough. I've got sympathy for these managers because you're going to cling on to everything. Mm-hmm. You know you're so up against it, you need everything to go your way. I'm not quite as convinced that, I mean, he says soft penalty and the Silla one, it's a free kick anywhere else in the pitch. I don't know.
Anywhere else but where in the pitch? That's usually when it's in the box.
That's what I didn't quite get. And then that automatically means you would go in 0-0. I don't know. It's just so tough because you're beaten by a mile. And I get it that you do need those things to go, and you never know sometimes when it's at the start and it sets a chain of events in motion. But
like, he's just lost his second 6-0. He's got to come out and try and defend at least some parts of it. He can't just keep being negative, negative, negative. As much as inside he'll probably feel that way, he says after the Hearts game, we're going to come in the Sunday morning, we're going to address this, we're going to look at this. Now,
Don't want to go to Celtic Park.
I was just going to say that. Mark makes a great point. It's no shame in going to Celtic Park and losing six, because they can do it to you. Let's be honest, when they're in top form at Celtic Park,
the point I was going to pick up on there. See at the end he's spiel there, and he says the level of goal we lost after that was so poor. I would have spun that differently and just said the quality. Level of goal we lost was unbelievable, because no other team or no other players could do that. I mean, Ingle's shot takes a deflection, of course, but still the power and the accuracy. Kuhn's goal's unbelievable, and Jota's ball into the back post is great, although he would have wanted to defend it better. But the goals are so good. And Maeda's goal, I mean, what a finish. That would frustrate a manager, I reckon, when you've got them up that end of the pitch in the corner flag and you allow them to come out in three passes.
Do you know the biggest thing that impressed me about Celtic last night watching the game wasn't the fact they scored six goals and some quality goals in there. It was when they lost the ball. They hunt it in packs. You know, they really went at Dundee and got the ball back as quickly. Obviously, they're doing a lot of work of that in training, because you could have seen it last night. They really, out of possession, I thought Celtic were as good as I've seen them.
Okay, it's that time of the night already. It's been a quick first part of the show. Let's play.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Did you hear? Lost on Tuesday.
Did you really? I didn't hear, sorry. I was too busy losing myself on Tuesday night.
Do you know
night.
What's worse? He's now mocking me on Instagram this week.
Who's the guy that beat you?
Me, Dave.
I did see a comment on your new collaboration post.
He's cheating.
I did see him.
To be fair,
I'm after him.
Everybody's mocking you on Instagram these days. My phone was red hot today, which tends to mean one of a couple of things. Usually that you've been up to something. So we're now getting gym selfies. Exasperated post-workout face.
That picture.
Positive.
We need to spend more time analysing that picture.
Tell me something. Have you seen the video it's going about?
The video?
If you want to.
Somebody's edited that picture. I'm not kidding.
Right, they don't need to edit it.
For after the break, can we get Gordon Dale's gym selfie from yesterday?
Just
put it out there just to see if people think it's acceptable. Right?
Socially acceptable.
Just to see if people are having it or not.
Has anybody noticed this forehead?
His camera. Out of control, isn't it?
Is it? Honestly, I was reading my phone when he came in and I just had a glance at him. Mate, and I had to double glance at.
Do you know what
has happened to your face?
That's telling you the training's working. I'm losing a lot of fat from the face now.
You're the only guy I've ever seen lose weight off their eyelids in the gym.
By the way, what's happened to my eyebrows?
I don't know. That's what I'm worried about.
Disappeared.
You've got this jaggy bit in your eyebrow.
You're looking strange. I'm not going to lie.
I feel strange. I think a balaclava.
I don't think it's worked.
Balaclava turned inside out. It's the only way forward for me.
Anyway,
my eyebrows away.
Beat the pundit time. Beat the pundit time. 01419511025, and the lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dl are here on the usual number 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. So what are you thinking tonight? The vast majority of the opening to the show was focused on Celtic Park last night. The victory, the margin of it, the performance, Adam Ida, Jota, Maeda, etc, etc. So if you want to add to that or introduce something new to the equation, please do. And if you want to shift focus, would be more than happy to do that as well. What about you, Rangers fans? What's on your mind tonight? It feels like it's hit a bit of a quiet lull. It feels like you aren't really expecting much from the transfer window at the end. You've made your peace with it. You're moving on. We had a bit of debate about who goes into that European squad though. So I wonder if you've any final thoughts there. And then on to what should be a straightforward cup tie at the weekend. But you never know. I'm sure you're more creative than me. You've got something on your mind. Now would be the perfect time to share it. 01419511025, and we will play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. The pundits need a win.
How?
Because it's two in a row for the listeners. You started it off on Tuesday.
Cammy
Bell lost last night, which you needed because that kept him below you in the table.
Should I put him down?
So as a collective you need a win, but you in particular really need one.
No, I don't.
The pressure's on.
No, I don't. I've done my bit for Super Scoreboard.
10th. Tell that to 10th in the table.
No, tell it to the amount of points I should have.
Lee is in Livingston. How's it going, Lee?
I'm bad. How's yourself, guys?
Good, thank you. Have you ever played this before?
I've played three times before. I've been beat three times.
You've been beaten three times?
Aye. He's a man.
Who beat you, Lee?
Mark.
Yep.
Scott Allen, and I can't mind the other one.
This must be the most anyone's ever played.
Again. Yeah. Tell a favour, mate. Hang up.
You've got to be in it to win it, he says. Indeed, you do. Because most nights I'll ask, I'm going to get a percentage on that, because most nights when I say, is it the first time, I'd say four out of the five, they always say yeah. Maybe even more. Yeah, first time. But so he's a glutton for punishment.
Three timer.
He's the kind of guy that going deal or no deal and get a penny, wasn't he? It's written all over him.
I've got that much bad luck, Gordon, I wouldn't even get a penny. Nothing.
Listen, Lee, I hope you win tonight. Do you know that? Three times phoning up fourth.
God loves a try.
See if he doesn't. See at the end of the season, mate, I'm coming through to Livy. I'm going to give you a ball. You might not recognise me. I'll have a hair transplant by then as well.
Heads, it's Mark Wilson. Tails, it is Gordon Dl. Do that again because I nearly dropped the coin. Oh, he's in the saddle again. Look at that.
Oh, big smooth face himself.
Come on, Lee.
Come on, then.
This is huge for you tonight.
I usually like to.
You could store this 50p in that thing that's appeared in your eyebrow. See that line that's appeared due to your surgery gone wrong?
That's my Elvis look.
We could honestly park this 50p.
Tell me where my eyebrows went. I got up yesterday.
It's magnificent. See for the view I've got just to the side of him. I wish people could see that. It's so good. You look so
it's
weird.
As a designer.
Speak into that camera and turn around and point it out.
No, I'm 62. I'm not going to say, hold on. Not at all.
What is that?
This thing?
That was not there before until you started messing around with your face.
No, no. I got up. What day is this? I got up Tuesday and I was like,
that was there.
And I was looking in a pillow. No, how you look in a pillow and you think, maybe be there under a bed. Gone.
I'm fascinated by this face.
I think there's a wee elf comes in and
strange man. I'm not going to lie.
In the middle of the night.
It's really weird.
There's somebody in the middle of the night, let me tell you.
Give Gordon DL some greatest hits radio to listen to so that he can't hear Lee's answers. Lee's, Lee, I'm tempted to just give you the answers. I can't have a four defeats in a row in my conscience. Think carefully, go through them all, pass if you don't know, and move on, okay? Right, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Name any Scottish Premiership manager that has a Scotland cap.
Pass.
What two teams will compete in the SPFL Trust Trophy final?
Queen's Park, Livingston.
How many goals have Dundee conceded in their last two games? How many?
12.
Which club connects Gary McAllister, Gordon Strachan and Ross McCormack?
Leeds.
What team did Celtic sign Arnie Ingles from?
By Leverkusen.
In what Scottish city do Cove Rangers play their home games?
Cove.
Let's bring him back. Gordon DL, can you hear us?
Lee good, was he? Well, you're chuckling, so I reckon one will come away.
The last so one I couldn't hear his answer, was it?
It was
ridiculous.
Kinda.
Ah, well, I can put one of them in there.
30 seconds on the clock, Gordon DL, and your time starts now. Name any Scottish Premiership manager that has a Scotland cap.
Derek McInnes.
What two teams will compete in the SPFL Trust Trophy final?
Livingston, Queen's Park.
How many goals have Dundee conceded in their last two games?
12.
What club connects Gary McAllister, Gordon Strachan and Ross McCormack?
Leeds.
What team did Celtic sign Arne Ingles from?
Oh, pass, can't remember.
In what Scottish city do Cove Rangers play their home games?
Aberdeen.
What Glasgow derby takes place in the Cup this weekend?
The Glasgow derby? And Glasgow. Right.
No, you're not getting it for that. Can't remember. Absolutely refuse to give you that. Once is bad enough.
Glasgow derby, who's at Clyde and somebody?
Lee, tell me you're not going to be the first man ever to lose four in the spin and be the pundit.
Oh, definitely. Well,
he's not lost,
the thing
is,
right? See if you look. I think there's a bit of bad luck involved here. Because how can I say this without being rude to all of our previous Beat the Pundit contestants? You know, sometimes you hear guys and you think, oh, that you could never win. Like they might get zero or one and struggle to get a one. No, Lee sounds all right and he gets a couple, but is it enough? Name any Scottish Premiership manager that has a Scotland cap. You had the choice of Don Cowie.
Yeah.
Or Derek McInnes.
Good shout. 1-0
Gordon DL.
Lee not get that?
He didn't.
Hang up.
No, but here's my point, right? See if Lee was a complete dumpling. Mm-hmm. The type of dumpling that you would think can lose four in a row. I don't think he gets Queen's Park Livy. And he got it. It's a decent answer.
Nice, Lee. At least you're not getting the donut.
You're on the board, mate.
You're not getting a ball, but you're not getting the donut.
You got it as well. You got 12 goals for Dundee. Lee got it.
Oh, Lee, good stuff.
He also got Gary McAllister, Gordon Strachan, Ross McCormack.
Leeds.
Hold on, I'm going to get beat here.
Well, you're one in front.
He's throwing a curveball in.
You're one in front.
I know, but Lee might get more questions. Could you go quicker with the contestants rather than
I think you'll find that you got more questions.
How many things
can you get wrong in one night? Seriously?
Plenty. There's still another half hour.
Arne Ingles, Mark, do you remember?
No.
Augsburg, is that how you say it?
I wouldn't have got that.
Yeah.
Did Lee get that?
He didn't. And in which Scottish city do Cove play their home games? Lee said Cove.
Oh, that's a nice city. Have you ever been there for a city break, Lee?
No.
It is Aberdeen, which means it's a 5 to Gordon DL and a 3. Do you know what I mean? 3 is okay.
But this guy's now lost the big boy of nightmare.
He's now lost 4 times on Beat the Pundit.
When Simon Donlon fought that and phone in was
for his 5th.
Oh, there's a wee percent. Up we go.
You're right, you needed it.
I must have risen.
For the record, Rangers v Queen's Park is the Glasgow derby in the cup.
Oh, goodness me. I forgot that Rangers were playing Queen's Park.
All is not lost, because don't forget, everybody who takes part this week gets an entire box of Scotty Brand's beetroot crisps.
What a result.
They're good, aren't they?
Aye, they're brilliant.
I've been taking a bag home every night for Mrs. Duncan.
They're good.
What one telling did you her take I'm buying the box?
The cheese and onion ones.
Oh, so did I.
Thai sweet chilli were good. I had some last night.
What's Lee getting? Does he get to pick?
He gets the full box.
What flavour?
Oh, I don't know. Let's
Lee, what kind do you want?
What flavour is that?
Cheese and onion.
You can't even get that right, Lee.
Salt? Do you want a salt and vinegar?
That doesn't exist.
Cheese and onion.
Send the guy a box, Lee. Well done. Imagine losing four times and beat the pundit, and all you've got to show for it is a box of beetroot crisps. Which are nice. They are nice.
We struggle with something, but Mrs. Lee's currently pregnant now, so she'll probably wire into all of them.
Exactly. I like your thinking. Well, all the best with the arrival. When are we looking at?
She's due the 25th of June.
Brilliant. Give us a call back. Name him after Gordon DL. Ah, Gordon.
Middle name, Lee.
Thank you, Lee.
No worries, thanks for
cheers, mate.
That was Lee.
He's a winner.
He was a nice boy, wasn't he? A nice guy.
He wants a ball.
Baby on the
a ball or a packet of crisps.
No, but everybody gets them anyway, so you might as well add the ball.
I'm going to give Lee a ball at the end of the season.
Go. Why?
Because I like Lee. I think he had a good manner about him. He took defeat well. Some people don't take it well, Mark. And he just like had you. A nice, you know, and he's got having a baby and.
Don't feel sorry for them. Just get a box of crisps, man.
Got to be nice.
You know, I actually got distracted because I wanted to ask Lee some just general football questions, as I often do when they've played Beat the Pundit, but I was too wrapped up in the crisps and his defeat. We had a bit of debate about this last night, and not to just keep regurgitating the same argument, but tonight's the night, I think midnight, for Europa League squad submissions. Which three does Philippe Clement put in? Because Cammy Bell, Jim Duffy last night, they kind of got there. They couldn't quite decide on some. I've been looking on social media. I feel like there's one or two that people are maybe not that bothered about. There's not much between, I should say. Midnight's the night, so this is the last chance for you to tell us which three changes Rangers should make.
Well, I think everybody will agree Hadji's a stick on. Okay. He's a massive part of it.
I'll write him down.
Yeah. I think you've got to keep as many forwards in as you possibly can. Danilo?
Okay.
My number two.
Why did you say that with like a questioning tone?
See, the only issue with that, how long's his injury keeping him out for?
Well, that's right. A fit Danilo. I think that if you look at the centre-back position, right, because you'll have... We've now known that he likes the fact that if there's any problems, you can put Tavernier in there. Sterling can play in there. Proper's there. Shooter's back from injury. Balogun, is he fit again?
He's not fit right now, I don't think. Right, so again, that might be part of your...
So four, and then you've got centre-half to get in there. Insiala, for instance. I like him. I think he's done well since he came in. But that means you're leaving out somebody you brought in the transfer window. The easy picks. Fernandes, isn't it? Really? But
I think that's the easy one.
Yeah.
So it's easier to overlook Insiala's recent form than it is to...
Well, I'll tell you what, I would go with Insiala, right?
All right.
And the reason being, he's played games in at centre-back. He knows how the back four play in the goalkeeper. He's done very well. And then you just sugarcoat it to Fernandes. Look, your time's coming. We've got to go with the lads that have been playing just now. So, me personally, that's who I'd go for. That's my three.
I'd do the opposite. I'd go for Fernandes. You bring him in... You bring them in on loan for a reason, and it's to affect your squad. Insiala is there. You've signed him. He'd be the opposite for me. He's one for the future. His time may come, but I think I would go with a guy that you've actually brought in hoping that he could make an impact in your team.
You see that logic?
I do, yeah. But I just think that... I think this is a difficult decision. I think it'll all boil down to see if Danilo and
Danilo's
if
fitness,
he's touch and go in the fitness situation, then it's an easy option, isn't it?
Joey's leaning towards carrying options in an attacking area, really. You know, like extra options, because it's an area you would rotate within a game as well. You need to change your centre backs.
I think you've got your options of centre backs that can get in there. Like, so Tavernier showed at Old Trafford, they can get in there and play. In fact, he played the next game. You know, Sterling can get in there as well. Proper's not the greatest fan's favourite, but played in there and's done well last day. Shooter's back playing fit. So I think you've got as you say, you don't rotate. If you're chasing a game, you're not going to rotate your centre halves a lot. You're rotating the middle to front guys to go and try and win you the game or pull you out a hole. So I would probably go Danilo if he's fit, obviously, and Hadji, and then one of the other two. Maybe. I would probably do beat the pundit, heads or tails.
Well, Hugh Keevans has got Rangers going all the way to the final. So it is a lot of games.
An unbelievable shout early on. I couldn't believe it on Sunday when I said that.
So it is a lot of games to him, potentially. But I suppose you don't really know. Like, when you pick your squad at the start of a group, like this group, this league phase was big. So it was a big commitment that way. Do you know what I mean? You're committing on day one to leaving X player out for the entirety of it. Yaris Hadji being the high-profile example. Rangers fans won't want it to be the case, but it might be that whoever it is in Seattle or Fernandez, you leave them out for it's two games, a tie. But you look at the level of opposition, Rangers would fancy getting through it, wouldn't they?
Although I think so.
Four options.
I think so. Hugh's right in that respect that you look at who they could pull and they could progress, of course. But equally, you're right. I think Philippe Clement has got to look at it and just tie by tie, not think about this could be another, what would it be, four games or something like that. He just needs to look, who can get me through the next round? I think you'd always opt for a striker. I think if Danilo's anywhere round about going to be fit for at least the second leg, I think you would always fancy that over a defender. And I think that defender anyway, who's going to come into the squad to supply you with cover, would be Fernandez. Why bring him in loan? If you're not going to... I get there was a wee bit of a crisis there, but he's here, so use him. You're paying his wages. You know what I mean? Inciala's here anyway. So put him in the squad.
I know, but Inciala, he's doing well. He's done well since when he came in. Look, it's up to the manager in that sense, but I just think that you can say to Fernandez, you can sugarcoat it by saying, look, two games, let's take it for there. You're going as a part of the rest of the season. But he might go with Fernandez.
Suppose, yeah, there will be bits you don't necessarily know right now about fitness because, I mean, Kieran Dowell quite obviously has to come out of the squad because he's not there anymore. Casemiro's is pretty much a season-ending injury, so he'll come out. You wonder what that other one will be. You know, does Leon Balogun have issues? And if he does, he comes out and then maybe you do go for the two defenders then.
Where's Cortez in this? Is Cortez
again injured? But I don't know what the full extent right now. But as an example, maybe we're not taking that into consideration. You know, if Casemiro and Balogun say came out, then you might go for Fernandez and Inciala and not have Danilo. Or you want really just to get that striker.
I agree with Mark. I think if you're making substitutions, I think most of the substitutions middle to front, especially in what you would call cup ties or two cup ties, isn't it? Home and away. I would probably, if he was fit, it would be Danilo, Hadji, and one or the other for me, defender.
It has to be. I don't think he's got much options with that because you do leave yourself short. At the start of the season, Dessers carried can. It's something we spoke about a lot. Igeman's came and lightened the load a wee bit. But I think you're always looking for something in reserve to bring on late in the game, even if you're chasing it, to keep even Dessers and Egerman on and add another. There's no point in having a bench stacked full of defenders.
Well, you leave Danilo out, right? We're talking about Celtic situation in the Champions League. You leave Danilo out, right? You've got Dessers, Egerman that can play through the middle. Who's your other options? You know, so you're leaving yourself really short in that department, whereas you've got options at centre back where, like, say, Taverniers, the Sterlings of this world can get in and cover as centre backs in a one off game or whatever it may be. So I think you've got to go with the two forward players right away and then choose your centre back.
Hugh Keevans texts to say that if Rangers reach the Europa League final, you two must resign.
I tell him,
listen, no worries.
Hold on a minute. See if they don't, we'll hear it.
I was going to say, I've yet to find out the punishment for any of the 649 predictions he's got wrong in the last 2 weeks. But
I can't believe he's calling for our resignation. What a teammate.
It's because you called him out, by the way.
We will find out.
He's sitting in that kitchen calling you for everything.
0141 951 1025. It's a great time to call. We'll get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. 0141 951 1025. Give us a call, whatever it is that's on your mind. Maybe you want to shift focus onto something entirely different. Do an early look ahead to the Cup this weekend. Any Air United fans out there, I would like to hear from you, because if anyone on paper has got the credentials for that shock, well, you're looking at, that's the only tie where the so-called underdog is at home. You're in a particularly good run at the moment, or in a good place. I suppose Hibs are as well, but you know, it's got more makings of that than the other ones on paper. So I wonder how you're feeling. Do give us a call. 01419511025. I think we've definitely had variations on this question before, so I think too many of your experience should be able to eat it up. But thank you to Barry Cameron for sending it in. And what to do is, if you like the sound of this, you come up with the question, they try and answer your question, and that is the full time teaser. So the address you need on the email is fulltime@clyde1.com. fulltime@clyde1.com. Barry says, since 1999, 10 non-Scottish managers have won the Scottish Cup. Can you name them? So since 1999, 10 non-Scottish managers have won the Scottish Cup. Can you name them?
The Hearts guy.
Brendan Rodgers.
He'll do, yes.
Yeah, I forgot him.
Van Bronckhorst.
Yes.
We will go. Is Dick Advocaat in there? He's 99.
Gordon, I'll take one guess from you and then we'll move on.
Hold on, hold on, please. Try to think. What did you call the Hearts guy?
You're not wrong, but it's not where you have to start. You don't need to start there.
I bet that's a hard one. Get the hard one out the road. The Hearts manager that won the cup final.
You tell me.
Jim Jeffries?
No.
Ian Cathro?
Oh, don't start, Gordon. I'm not really in the mood for you.
You can't tell he's frowning or.
By the way, Simon Donnelly sent me a message. All of your friends, all of your colleagues are getting in touch, and he just said, "Why is he permanently scowling now?" Question mark. More jabs? Question mark.
Is that what you said? The wee man. Tell him to go and get high heels and like, grow
it. You look like you're scowling.
No, no. What does that mean?
You're just growling at people. Oh, just right, angry.
Hold on, I'm still on the managers here.
Thank Hearts.
John Duffy, not Jim, says the picture of Gordon DL reminds me of Simon Murray at Dundee when he scores a very angry man.
See some of the comments on his Instagram about his gym picture.
Disgusting.
Were outstanding. I wish we could read some of it.
You say outstanding, I say disgusting.
Look, the people out there.
Whatever happened, can we get his gym selfie?
No, we won't get gym selfie.
Technical staff in here, can we get it up on that screen?
Wilson.
Honestly, I laugh there so is. Much.
look at that.
Oh no, that's
I
the
look
last
a bit
thing I want to see
there.
When I turn over my shoulder. I don't want to see that.
I like that.
And some of those comments are.
Take us through your thought process
there.
That
was a hard shift. Go I was knackered. I was absolutely. Don't. What are you, Dean?
Why? I just.
That's got to be my profile picture.
Can we not read some of the comments?
It's more.
I've just come out one of my.
It looks like. I know what it looks like.
I know, like, you know, you're on your fitness kick and whatever, and it is great, and we shouldn't be dragging
shouldn't
you
mock
down.
Anybody like that.
We're haters, right?
We are.
It's more the thought process of you've taken the picture, you've looked at
I'm
it and
not
thought,
very good at that.
That's the one for me. That's the one right. That the world needs to see right
but
now.
I'm not like you guys that you've got to get a photo taken, you run in, you comb your hair, you do. I'm out there with the people. I'm a people's person, not like yous, and I would hate to call yous what I'm thinking inside
but
my head.
But you say that, but that's not, that's...
See when you took that and you pressed send?
Aye.
Did you not think?
I don't care, mate.
I shouldn't have posted that.
See my stage in my life, do you honestly think what I care what people say? Seriously.
I can read some of the comments, not many of them.
Read some
Jay Nelson says, what the bath sees every Wednesday.
No. I had a block to for you.
I quite like that.
Who's the one that says it looks like
Rue
he's
Graham
just...
says that's what your recliner chair sees.
And the new one.
Graham Parshall says this will make it onto SSB. You are right, Graham Parshall.
Oh man.
Right, just never mind my Instagram.
Anybody wants to follow me, comments.
Let me tell you, there's more coming out.
Exactly. That's what we want. The more followers for him, the better.
Do you know what I'm going to do?
I like this one from a guy, because I knew we would slag you. Most people are kind of slagging you. Some guy called Pill Bar Trucker Lambo says, "You become the best version of you and ignore those scraping the gutters. They'll try and drag you back down to their level. Keep going, big man."
Keep going.
Is that your fitness coach?
That's my fitness.
No, it's just a different
Scotty's guy. Scotty's my fitness coach.
What?
So we're apparently dragging him down.
How can we drag that down to the gutter? Yeah. Look at it. Look at,
do you know something?
Up.
Have you noticed that I don't phone you anymore? I can't be bothered. The minute I leave this studio. Use your wipe.
1 week ago, you phoned me because you thought you were being catfished on the way home. That was 7 days ago.
Right, but that since was only then, on a one.
Hold on, you phoned me today.
Oh, for a golf club. I needed you for something. I only phone you amazing. When I want to use you.
Can we leave that picture up for the remainder of the?
It's
of
disturbing
the
seeing it behind you. I tell you that. Nobody needs to see that. Behind them.
Indeed. Right, 01419511025. That is the number.
I forgot what the question is.
Oh, that's fine. We can
the Hearts manager.
That.
You think
the Hearts manager. Oh, who's the Hearts manager?
Is that Laszlo Sheba?
That's it.
Sheba Laszlo.
Sheba Laszlo.
Yeah, that's
no, him. No.
No, yeah. Is it not?
It's not him.
Who's the other one there?
Right, we can get back to this.
Martin O'Neill. Yeah,
Martin.
I forgot about him.
I'll try to get you one there just to perk you back up.
Just leave it there.
I think somebody behind you is trying to do the same.
Because we've got plenty of time between now and the end of the show. And thank you again to Barry Cameron for sending it in. Full time at Clyde1.com is the number that you need. Let's hear a bit more from Brendan Rodgers on last night. He says he can't wait to see Jota at full fitness. He says the winger is a big talent. He's shown already in his first two appearances since returning.
I'd obviously seen him before from the outside looking in, and then I've seen him train and work. But he's a big player, you know, so I can't wait for him to get up to the level in terms of that football fitness. You know, he's missed a lot of football, hasn't played a great deal, but just his class act, you know, how he takes the ball, he has a lovely arrogance with the ball. But like you say, he's effective. He doesn't just look a good player, he is a good player. He can beat people and make a pass, make a cross, make a shot, and oh no, he's a big talent.
Is that the good thing about this? Is we've known this about Jota before, so we're just trying to rediscover it rather than learn something new about a new signing. So often, players who are as flashy as him don't then turn that into productivity, really.
Yeah,
but he always had that bit of both, didn't he?
That's the point. Brendan Rodgers is spot on. He doesn't just look a good player, he is a good player. We played with loads of them who look a good player, who train like a good player, but when it's on the big stage, they don't produce. But he did it first time around. I guess the interest or the thing for me was, can he do it second time around? Because quite normal for people to come back to clubs and not quite hit the heights that they set, or the standards they set the first time around. Like, he's only had two games to be involved in. He certainly looks like he hasn't lost any of his flair and end product. So as long as he keeps doing that, he will be a hero in the eyes of the Celtic fans again.
Yeah, he's undoubtedly a terrific talent. Let's not get away from that point. Everyone's saying just now, well, he needs to get up to fitness. I watched him last night. He looked as sharp as a tack. And if he's got to get more fitness in him, he's just got to get better and better. I think one of the callers described it, his ball into Maeda's goal for a header. The back post just takes the full defence out of the game. You've seen him when he come on at Fir Park. He lights up a football park. That's what you can say about it. He lights up the, you know, fans get excited when they see him coming on because they know that he's got to produce something. The guys going along to Celtic Park last night must have been delighted when they heard the team and Jota was in it, because that's what they're there to see. They're there to be entertained. They're there to see talent, and he's got it in abundance.
You saw him, did you not, Mark? I think it's a huge state secret. I'm sure you can get away with giving us the insight.
Tuesday, we were playing Celtic B team up at Lennox Town. Schlupp had just arrived. The team had trained late and they were doing a wee bit of work just on the AstroTurf pitch, just simple over hurdles and stuff like that. But
so Jota's still doing a bit of fitness work on his own Tuesday, then starts the game.
Aye, so it must have just been a wee bit of mobility work or something like that. But they were out there, so it was great for our young players to see that. They were
when they turned up.
They turned up and these guys
because the first team would usually be sort of cleared out by then.
Well, that was the point. The kickoff got moved later to a 7 o'clock kickoff. It was supposed to be 2, but they were training because of a rearranged game, but it was a late training session and we turned up and some of the guys are still there, so it was great for our young players. But shows you they're working late into Tuesday, and then you know they've got a crucial involvement on the Wednesday, especially Jota.
Did we learn anything about Schlupp last night? Was it too early either way?
Nah, it was hard. He come on, the game was well gone by then. He had a couple of slack moments, but you expect that. He's going to get up to speed with the Scottish game because it will be different. But he's got great experience, isn't he? He's a Premier League winner with Leicester.
Where's he going to play, do you think?
I don't know.
Or where's he going?
He's definitely left back cover, isn't he? 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, there's an option there. And I think Brendan Rodgers likes that. But he must be. Just I think the makeup of the squad.
You saw Montgomery going as well. I know Montgomery's well down the pecking order, but you wouldn't let another left back go at the building if that wasn't your main kind of focus for Schlupp.
Jerry is in Surrey. How's it going, Jerry?
How you doing, Gordon? I'm Gordon and Mark. Hope you're all well.
Great, thank you, Jerry. How are you?
Not bad at all, Gordon. Just on a long drive back home from Surrey.
Oh, where is home in this part of the world?
So home is Durham. Stay in Durham now, but I'm originally from Glasgow.
Love Durham.
Pink Panther's favourite place, isn't it? Durham.
Where were you in Surrey, Jerry?
A place in between Woking and Guildford. A place called Brookwood.
Oh, I'm not too far.
You know that area well,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, not too far away. You could have picked up my suitcase. What was your point?
We're about to open old wounds here, Jerry, so just go on to your football point before he gets in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll probably end up crying at the end of it if we talk about that.
Aye, I think you might.
Aye, okay, Jerry.
I was just wanted to talk about the entitlement or the self-entitlement of some of my fellow Celtic fans over the transfer window. We all know that January is quite a complicated window to get any good deals done. We all know that. That's been covered the last few nights. And I was listening to Gordon the other night on Tuesday where, you know, saying it was a good transfer window when you think about it. Getting what we got for Kyogo, bringing in Jota. But some of the things have been missed, you know. The only thing I would say that was disappointing about the transfer window was not getting Tierney in on our loan until the summer. That way we would have had, you know, our number one left-back coming back into the club. It's just some of the fans coming on saying it's a disaster, it's a disgrace, it's this and that. You know, we probably did try to get that striker in, but we were priced out as they normally do in January. And who knows, he might still come in the summer. But it was proved last night by the display that we've got enough firepower in the team. Maeda, who's been absolutely brilliant, and he should be, you know, on some of the Celtic fans' lips of being the player of the season, along with Kuhn. He's dynamic. He can play across anywhere across the front three. We can change the way we want to play our front man. If we take off Ida, who's more a target man, penalty box striker, we've got somebody with the energy and the pressing of Maeda to play that central spot. I just can't believe some of the attitudes of our Celtic, some of my fellow Celtic fans, who think it's an absolute disaster, which it's not. The only thing, as I say, is disappointing is not getting Tierney in the window, but getting somebody with the experience of Schlupp. I mean, you seen him last night, so assured on the ball, and he just can drift through the game quite easily. So having him in there for backup for 6 months is a success for me.
When you mentioned a couple of them, just out of curiosity, can you separate them, Jerry? Who's got the edge out of Maeda and Kuhn out of their in terms of contribution this season?
In the second half, the first half of the season, it was definitely Kuhn, definitely. But, you know, we're now in the business end of the season and Maeda's just delivering on all fronts. So, for me, Maeda's just edging it. He's just edging it from the way he's playing. We've lost somebody like Kyogo and he's just taking, you know, the bull by the horn saying, right, I'll give Ida a run for his money for being the main man through that central position if I have to. So, for me, Maeda's just edging it.
Yeah.
I'd agree with that. Just now, I said earlier on, I thought Kuhn was running away with it. If you put together Kuhn's highlights reel and goals reel, then he's got a pretty strong case. But I think Maeda overall and what he's contributing just now, Brendan Rodgers said earlier, one of them can remember is that Coons got 18, Maeda's got 17, vice versa. Not so bad if you're getting 30 plus goals off your two wide men. But just that work ethic, just that relentless nature about Maeda, the fact that he can go into that number nine position as well. If he keeps playing the way he's playing, might just see him pip him for the award at the end of the season.
There's a few strikers' finishes in there as well, Gordon, with those headers in the last couple of games. We said the chip one yesterday is just sublime, you know. But the couple of kind of
thought the one at Fir Park was excellent.
Great header,
I've got to say,
Larson-esque, Brendan Rodgers called it.
Yeah, it was a very good header, I've got to say. And I've got last night, the ball's everything. You know, just put your head in that, directed towards goals, you've got to score. Look, I think everybody's now looking at Maeda because it's recent, but we've got to remember what Coon done at the beginning of the season, right up and still just now. You know, he comes on last night, okay, gets a wee bit of help, but he's still in top form. So I think I'll be very, very tight, you've got to say. I think the two of them have got such talent.
Maeda didn't start the season slowly either. I mean, he scored in the first, he got a double in the League Cup against Hibs, scored against Rangers soon after. Then he went Dortmund, Bratislava, both of those games. I know the Dortmund game was like
Champions League goals as well. What about his goal against with Bruges at home? You know, just standout moments. He's always there, very rarely injured. Obviously, at the team with suspension, but there's just so much to his game. I often think of these things, and I said it earlier on that who would I rather play against? It's not a great prospect to play against either of them, but I would think it would be tougher to play against Maeda. I really do, just in terms of that, even when I'm on the ball and he's pressing you. Coon's a fantastic player, don't get me wrong, it will be tight, but Maeda is on the ball at the minute.
What's your service station of choice, Jerry, on your long drive?
Oh, it depends where I'm going to stop. I just stopped off one just before Durham there, just to get something to eat, because I don't expect the missus to have anything on the on the table for me when I get in at this time of night.
Too right, you sort yourself out. Have a safe trip, Jerry, driving up the road from Surrey.
Thank
you, Jerry.
Right, this teaser, thank you to Barry Cameron for sending it in. Since 99-10 non-Scottish managers have lifted the Scottish Cup. Can you name them? Advocaat, O'Neill, Rodgers, Van Bronckhorst.
Big
fairly
Ange.
Well-known ones. Big Ange, your former teammate.
Here's one.
You hear from him much?
No, he's under a little bit of pressure.
Will he do the business tonight?
No, I don't think so. I think Liverpool.
Think they'll overturn that?
Oh, yeah, I think Liverpool are too good just now. Here's another one. Was Alan Stubbs one?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Mark, any from you?
When?
Neil Lennon, yes. We'll get the rest of the answers when we return.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Gordon DL and Mark Wilson. Still time, if you fancy it, to squeeze a call in. 0141 951 1025. A topical teaser for you tonight, and you've only got three still to get. So thank you to Barry Cameron for sending in. He wants you to name, since 1999, 10 non-Scottish managers who have lifted the Scottish Cup. You've got the big hitters: Advocaat, O'Neill, Lennon, Rodgers, Postecoglou, Van Bronckhorst. Alan Stubbs did it with Hibs. So you get three to get.
What's it got?
Give me one each.
Hold on. What year did you play?
Tommy Wright.
Tommy Wright, that's the one.
Yes. Give me one more guess.
Who has the Hearts one?
Oh, I don't know, mate. I can see him. I'll need to ask him his name. He's foreign.
Some brilliant attempts at this on Twitter. Stuart Ibbertson, I think, might have them all.
Ewan, what did he say about the Hearts one?
Ewan has got most, but then he's thrown in a Terry Butcher, I think. Ewan, that's one of them.
No, he didn't win.
Stephen Murphy's gone. Golak.
I was 94.
94 though, not since 99.
Peter Houston was 2010, wasn't he? For United.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll leave it there. We'll get it before the end of the show.
Where's Peter from?
Aye, Scotland, that's what I mean. He's Scottish.
Mark's ruling him out.
Oh, right. Okay. Who's the Hearts guy? Oh.
We'll get back to it. Let's hear from Stephen Robinson. He's been speaking. He's calling for full-time officials in Scottish football to improve decision making after they criticised decisions in Saturday's loss against St Johnston.
VAR was put in place to help when they made mistakes, to rectify them. It's currently not doing that to the level we all hoped. How can we make it better? People doing it full time would be my suggestion. People say that we don't have the money, but we invest a lot of money per club into VAR, so we have to find a way. It's not a case of we can't find a way, we have to find a way. We have to have the product of Scottish football being better, and better decisions, better quality on the pitch as well. So together everybody has to try and do that.
This is not Stephen Robinson's fault. It's not a criticism of him. I just hear episode 347 of Scottish football needs full-time refs. No one seems to really ever take it any further, because we can't say, well, you can, and again, so this isn't Stephen Robinson's fault. I get why he would say, we need to find the money from somewhere. And then people say, yep, where? Where? Like the English full-time officials, I think they're a couple hundred grand a year or something. Our refs all have very good full-time jobs. They then do this. And I don't know, for me, play the tapes from last time we had this. Should somebody be better at something if they do it full time? Yes, obviously. But every Monday morning I watch an hour long ref watch in the English Premier League.
Yeah, full time.
Every time our teams play in Europe, I see them on the receiving end of some baffling decisions. Every time Scotland play, I'm chucking things at my telly because I think the refs have some bad... My fear would be Scottish football would cobble together every single penny we've got, and in 6 months' time, we'd have the same. We all thought investing in full-time refs was going to fix this. I do not ever envisage a situation where everybody's happy with the level, because guess what? Nobody in any country in the world is happy with the level of their officiating. And it's scary that people don't realise that.
Well, that's pretty it. Nailed on. I think the only thing it would get, I would just put this...
That side of the criticism.
Put this comment to one side. And... Look, I guess if you're looking at our game, it would bring it up to the level of other major countries. I know we aren't a major country, but we always strive to be, don't we, in keeping up with VAR and European competitions and stuff like that. So it would raise that kind of element of it. Would it make it any better? You're right. We watch Decision Watch or whatever it's called, Ref Watch. And
Decision Watch is a terrible name.
I know. That sounds like an ITV drama.
I don't... Hope it doesn't sound like I'm just dismissing the notion, Gordon, because like I say, it's pretty obvious. You do anything full time versus part time, you should be better at it. I'm not doubting that. I'm doubting
financially it can work.
Well, probably not. And then because I feel like the same argument people are having with VAR, going, well, yes, we've invested all this and we're getting more right, but we're not getting enough right, then it's not worth the hassle. I feel like we'd have that same conversation, because let's be honest, if the money was there, I think we would think, you think all of our refs wouldn't prefer to do it full time if the money was there?
Yeah, but the money's not there. That's where the problem lies. So you've either got to go with the way it's going, or you've got to go in and say, right, we need to scrap this. That's the decisions. It's not a case of saying, yeah, it's easy, just let's get the refs full time. Fitness wise, I don't think would make any difference, right? Because I think our refs are as fit as any refs can about. But of course, you get more time to work at your job, and it gives you a better, you know, insight to the job as well. You would get better. But financially, it will not happen, because referees get paid well just now. On top of that, you're right, Gordon, a lot of our top referees have got real good jobs that they ain't going to give up to get into full-time refereeing. It ain't happening.
There is always the argument that if you do go full time, you take away the stress of the day job from the referee. Yeah. So you're right. They have most of them have found
the logic is there, undeniably. You can possibly
they find good
it.
Places of employment, but you can't tell me that there isn't some of them that come from a bad day at work or a bad week at work.
The logic of being full time is obviously sound. You couldn't really argue with it.
But I wonder what people would choose. See, if you give them a choice, you can have full time referees, but the money that we put into VAR has to go scrapped and we're putting into referees, or we keep it VAR and part time, because I don't think we're ever going to get to a situation where we are the English Premier League. So what would they choose? Would fans want just referees back? Because you're right, 6 weeks in, they'd be saying this is a nonsense.
Well, but that's the thing, they've got it all. They've got the full time and they've got the VAR,
and it's still,
is it like noticeably life alteringly better, the standard there?
I don't know
if it is, but maybe that's just a personal thing.
Yeah, I don't think so. I agree. I don't think it's.
It'll not happen. There's no point in discussing.
All right, great. Well,
let's wrap up then.
Move on.
We're at the end of the show anyway. So since 99, 10 non-Scottish managers have won the Scottish Cup. Advocaat, Neil Lennon, Tommy Wright, Alan Stubbs, Rogers, Van Bronckhorst, Postecoglou.
I've got the hat. Stendhal.
No.
Daniel Stendhal has a good shout as well. Well done.
Big build up for that. It's two former Hearts managers looking for. One's Portuguese, one's obviously Lithuanian.
Portuguese. Oh.
Quick.
I don't know.
Paulo Sergio.
That's who I meant.
Is the 2012. I can see him. And the 2006 one, Lithuanian.
Is Ivanauskas.
Yes, Valdas Ivanauskas.
Did I not say him earlier? No, who did I say? Jabba somebody.
Oh, Jabba Lasley.
I said that.
Okay, thank you, Mark and Gordon. We are back tomorrow night, building up to the Scottish Cup weekend. Looking forward to it. Make sure you join us then. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday, but it is 6 o'clock here tomorrow, and we will see you then. Thank you for listening and watching.